It's Monday, December 10th, and you're listening to the Geek at Geek News Central, the longest continuous running tech podcast. This is show number 823, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Our December special for all new and existing GoDaddy customers, $2.95.coms. Use promo code GEEK295 or take 20% off your total order using promo code GO20OFF2. Hey, we got a great show lined up for you. I am way glad to be back in Honolulu, sitting here in some shorts, enjoying the trade winds. I've got a great show for you tonight. It's the holidays. Let's strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There is no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to Geek News Central, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Honolulu. Hey, everyone, welcome to the show. And for those of you that are watching, do you guys notice something different? Got some new lights. We got some Christmas lights up. We've got a new background to the Ohanosaurus. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. And I even have the ability to change the lights here in the studio, which is kind of cool. I'll talk about how I acquired that and what prompted me to make the minor change here in the studio. But I like the color. I really do. For those of you that are not watching, and those of you that have seen the studio here, just imagine a dark blue tone in the cabinetry behind me. Now, I can change that tone to red, green, orange, yellow, purple, just about every color underneath the sun, including, a waterfalling effect. But we're going to keep it to one color tonight to keep you guys from going nuts, those of you that are watching. And I think probably from an encoding standpoint, it'll work a lot better as well, too. So, hey, I am glad to be back here in Hawaii. The weather is windy, but it's nice. And we're kind of in our winter mode here as well. People say you have a winter in Hawaii. Yes, we do. But it's not 90, it's 75 to 85. And we get a little bit of rain every day, which is good on my water bill. So it's all good. I guess first thing is Merry Christmas to everyone. It is the holidays, and it doesn't, there's no snow on the ground here, but I know many of you have gotten your Christmas lights up. And And for those of you that celebrate Christmas, Merry Christmas. For those of you that celebrate Hanukkah, Happy Hanukkah. Whatever it may be, or if you are non-faith-based, then, enjoy the holidays, irregardless. But I want to give a warm welcome to the Johanna, all of you that are longtime listeners of the show. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the family. Of course, we want to make sure you get over to geeknewcentral.com. And when you're over there, take time and get subscribed to the show. That way, you'll never miss a single episode. There's a link there to subscribe via iTunes or via the newsletter. Don't forget about our other shows, too, The Gadget Professor, Robot Underpants. As a matter of fact, let me come back. And those of you who have been watching Langley's show, Langley needs a job. So he's recently been laid off. And so he is on the hunt for new employment in the San Francisco area. So Langley's got lots of great skills, and I can turn you on to his resume. So if any of you are looking for a sharp guy, definitely want to check Langley out. He's diverse in his talents, and I think he'd make a good addition to anyone's team. Plus, he's a lot of fun to be around with, that's for sure. So again, make sure you get over to the website, check out geeknewcentral.com, and of course, we've got lots of great articles that are going up on the website. We've got a lot of content being put up every day by our fabulous writing team, so definitely don't miss that. And the traffic's up on the website. I'm pretty pleased where we are at this point at the end of the year. And so the investment in the website is really beginning to pay off. The traffic is up, which is always good. So don't forget, if you're listening along, that's fine. But if you want to watch the show, don't forget you can catch the show on the Tech Podcast channel on the Roku, Boxy, Samsung Smart TV, Google TV, and of course the show is available via the Apple TV as well. Of course, you can get, real easy right on your iPad. And I've got my iPad loaded up here. Let me actually flip over to that. And it's actually got it loaded up here on the screen. And it's real easy to stay connected with the show's fully HTML5. Or actually, the website's HTML5 capable. So you can come over and basically play right from the right on your iPad or your Android or whatever device you may have. So don't forget about that. Hey, as well, you can contact me at Twitter at Geek News. You can reach out via email at geeknews@gmail.com and call our hotline at 619-342-7365. I did have a couple of voicemails that came in, so I was really excited and went over and downloaded them. And I played the first one, and hey, we haven't met. But it goes on. I listen to it for like 15 seconds. I'm like, is this a fan or is this a spam call? And it turned out to be a spam call, but it was really slick, a really good one. It was done. So I had me in there for a few minutes. He was selling some sort of fly-by-night business, of course. So it seems like the hotline has maybe gotten to the point where it's outlived its usefulness. So there's going to be some consideration come the new year, whether or not we're going to continue the hotline or not. Maybe just let people submit audio comments via email. And I think I actually had one the other day that I may have missed. So I apologize if I did. Actually, no, I think I did. I got it from Mika, so I got that up. But we'll talk about that as time goes on. Hey, we're up on a live audio stream. As always, if you're over on the website, you'll see the live 24/7 streaming audio. And click that if you're at work or wherever it may be, and you'll get the last couple of shows in a continuous stream. When we're live, we're actually pushing it live when we're up as well. We're streaming tonight on Livestream, on Ustream, and of course the ad-free version here at Geek News Central or at live.geeknewscentral.com as well. Hey, of course, member here of the Tech Network. If it's tech, it's here. We've got 140-plus shows over at techpodcast.com, creating all kinds of great content on a weekly basis and daily basis, actually reaching millions of listeners monthly. So definitely check that out. Hey, want to take just a second here and got a quick message from my favorite gal over at GoDaddy.com. I want to hear a little bit of a play from Danica here.
Hi, this is Danica Patrick, racing star and GoDaddy girl. I rely on my race team to make my cars lean and mean. And I know the geek here at Geek News Central relies on the team at GoDaddy for lean, mean web products like domain names, hosting, and email. Check out all of Todd's great GoDaddy deals at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy.
Thanks, Danica. And I tell you, right here at Geek News Central, the servers that I run to host the show is on a GoDaddy dedicated server. All of my domains, all 218 of them, are hosted at GoDaddy, along with all my products and services that I use with them. And this month, we got a fantastic deal, and I've been taking advantage of this. I've been buying $2.95.coms by using the promo code GEEK295. But I do have to share with you a quick story. I was over on the auction website, and I was looking at the domains that were sale. And lo and behold, at the top, featured auction, podcast.com was available. So I thought, I wonder how much they want for that. So I submitted an auction price. I've submitted a $10,000 bid for podcast.com. And I thought that'll at least get them talking and maybe I'll get lucky and get it for $10,000. And I thought that would be a worthy investment for podcast.com. So later in the day, I got this reply, counter offer. The counter offer via the auction site was $1.2 million. And I just about fell out of my chair. So my little bid of $10,000 was poo-pooed away. And the guy just probably made me say, go away. I don't want to talk to you. only offering $10,000. But, you know, maybe in 2005 would podcast.com be worth $1.2 million? But no, now, no, it's not worth that at all. So there was another one, podcasting.com. So I said, I'll give that one a try. So I put in a bid on that one for $1,000. And the reply bid on that one was only $250,000. So, you know, obviously someone's got some big expectations for two domains. There's nobody out there that's going to buy those domains unless it's a big multinational company. And I just don't think anyone's going to do that. So anyway, maybe my $10,000 offer at some point will be, you know, worthy of consideration, but it wasn't. So obviously I buy a lot of domains and I trade and I horse jockey back and forth. I use their auction site. Not everybody does that. Usually I sell one or two domains a year. Just had someone wanted to buy one, said, yep, I agree to your price. Send me your email so I can send you an invoice and we can get this underway, and never heard from the guy again. As soon as I said invoice via PayPal, I think he ran, and I thought it might have been a scammer because they offered a really good price on the domain. But hey, I can get you .coms at $295. Not only that, we can get you hosting accounts or anything else at GoDaddy.com for 20% off. And that's just huge. That's a huge, huge, huge deal. And I want you to take advantage of it. I really do. When you get over to GoDaddy.com, check all these, you know, promos out. And I got this 20% offer going on right now that is really going to, wrong page. It's going to blow your socks off. You know, it's, you get to the checkout counter and you can save yourself $20 or 20%. So definitely check it out. We want to thank GoDaddy for being a sponsor here. You can find all my codes at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And we definitely appreciate their longtime support here at, at Geek News Central. Well, let me load this up, and actually let me flip back here so we can get back onto track. Oh, don't want to do that yet. There we go. Let's talk about the Christmas look here in the studio. I had to make a run to Costco, and basically what it boiled down to is I had to pick up some stuff. And ladies, never let your husband go shopping at Costco by himself. It's really a dangerous thing. But I was walking through, excuse me, and Sylvania had some of these LED lights. And I was really intrigued with them. They were $32 a package, which is a little bit pricey. But you got a 4-foot strip that would fit, as you guys can see, underneath or along the walls of a counter or something like that. I thought, man, that would be perfect for the studio. So I picked up two of them. I should have picked up three because I really needed one more. And I'll have to go back and get one. Probably they won't have any more when I go to get them. But long story short, I'm kind of pleased with the look that we have here. And I thought it would be real low, would be perfect. But it turns out that it looks a lot better when it's at its full brightness, and just the way the camera and everything is. So I really want to hear from you guys that are watching the show what you think about the motif, the color in the studio and how it looks. I really do want to hear you guys' feedback. I really like it. I really, really do. But you guys will be the true judge of it. And, you know, just like the soundboard, boy, oh boy, you guys hated the soundboard. So obviously the soundboard hasn't been back. Another thing, too, is I want to give a big shout out to Sam Garcia, our Super Ohana in Albuquerque, New Mexico, for basically giving me a new background for the Ohana Source for the Christmas holidays. Our Ohana Source is decked out in a lay, and you know, it got some Christmas lights going on, a little Santa Claus hat as well, and basically Mele Kalikimama. Jeez, I can't even pronounce it myself. Mele Kalikimaka is basically Merry Christmas. can sing it but can't say it. Gotta get the tongue and lips working there, Todd. But anyway, so basically a little Merry Christmas motif on the Ohanasaurus. So that kind of in the Christmas spirit here, and going to be that way through the end of the holidays here. Okay, let me talk a little bit about the upcoming 24-hour podcast. We got 40-plus guests planned. The agenda is about 95% complete. I've got about 4 hours of open air time that I need to get booked yet. A couple of primetime hours and some Saturday morning hours. So I'm looking forward to it to a certain extent because it's a huge undertaking. And I hope that you guys will join me here Saturday at 11 a.m. and cheer me on for 24 hours. Because after about 20 hours, I'm definitely getting a little punchy. And so it should be a lot of fun. And I was actually trying to remember how many years I had been doing the 24-hour podcast. We missed last year. So I think that this will be the sixth year that I've actually done it, fifth or sixth. And, you know, kind of all runs together. But should be a lot of fun. And we're definitely going to be raising money for the Wounded Warrior Project. So definitely want, goal is to raise $2,500. We'll see if we get to that point. So I hope you join me on Saturday for that. Kind of getting the studio prepped. You have to make a few changes in the studio to be ready for that event. And that is basically in work. And along with that CES, oh my goodness. It's just, we've added some things. We're going to do some new stuff this year. And that anytime you add something, it's just another layer of work to do. And a lot of it falls on my shoulders. I have to do a great amount of it to get prepped and be ready. Everything's ordered. I think we pretty much got everything packed. You know, believe it, I'm packed for CES. There's a few odd and ends. I've got shortage lists that we have to put together. But really, at this point, it's the scheduling, getting some stuff ordered that we still have to get ordered, and then we get ready to rock and roll out of here. We just locked up. We're now officially partnered up with Livestream. We're going to be ad-free for the entire show, streaming via the Livestream. Basically, we've got a Livestream broadcaster. It's all going to be tied in. We'll have embeds for all of our affiliate shows, and we'll have the live blogging platform. So really excited about all of that. And we actually were going to, you know, I was looking at the different live blogging platforms. I was crossing my fingers that WordPress would release theirs, but they haven't pushed out their update yet. So we're kind of waiting to see what's going to happen with them. But so ultimately here, Livestream's partnered up with us, and we look forward to working with them and getting promoted on livestream.com and, of course, covering the show. Now, my mom is going to be coming out to Hawaii. She's going to be here through the holidays, and then her and I will fly out of here to Vegas together. But what we're going to do is I'm going to have that insider special show that I remember I was talking to you guys about before. I'm going to have her on during the insider show. We're going to do a lot of, it's going to be pretty deep. And this is a special show that is only going to be released for our insiders. And the reason I want to do this special show is because you guys have contributed each month to the show. You've financially been behind everything that I've been doing here, allowing us to continue to build the dream and you know, ultimately at some point get to the point where we can hopefully have enough money coming in each month where we can hire an additional person and have on staff. And so we're going to do this insider special show as a Christmas treat to all the insiders. It's not too late to become an insider. We don't care if you just get started now. All you got to do is go to geekcentral.com/insider. There's a link to the page on geekcentral.com. So become, you know, help the show out $2, $5, $10, $15, $25 a month, whatever you can afford. That really helps us. It really does. And it really, you know, that way, and that's so dependent on other things to happen. And we hope that we'll be able to continue to grow the insiders. I kind of hope that that would be a little bit further along at this point where we could start implementing some of those cool things that we've wanted to do. But, you know, it's just, it's a challenge. And to get to that number. And really, what we really need is about 1,000 people supporting the show each month in that additional way to help us out here. So, you know, think about becoming an insider or even just do a one-time donation. We'll get you up on the insider mailing list and along with giving you this access to this special program that Sherry from the Sherry Cast. If any of you remember listening to that, it's going to be on. We'll be talking a lot of personal stuff during that. It'll truly be an insider show. All right, let's take care of the last piece of business before we get into tech, because that's what you all are here for. And I'm just jazzed to be home. I could talk for an hour, but we'll have time to do that on Saturday. So I want to thank the folks over at Six Dakota Meeting for being a sponsor here and doing the cool things that they do. You know, when meeting in person, we express so much through the raise of an eyebrow, a nod of agreement. You know, these simple gestures help us communicate more effectively and get things done. But if your team is spread out like my team is, really what you have to do in different locations, you have to just work smarter. And you have to build that connection. You know, building that connection can be more difficult. So that's why I recommend GoToMeeting with HD Faces. You can meet face-to-face with the colleagues and clients no matter where they are. And GoToMeeting takes simple online meetings a big step forward with the highest quality HD video conferencing. Builds trust, stay focused, turn your business ideas into actions. With one click, you can share your screen to work with others on the same document. It's easy to launch or join a meeting from anywhere using your computer, phone, or tablet. And now you can present with your iPad. So try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Don't wait for the special offer. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and use the promo code PODCAST. Remember to use that promo code PODCAST. We want to thank GoToMeeting for being sponsor here at Geek News Central. All right, let me go ahead and let's get into the regular stuff we've got for you tonight. And let me make a change up here and load Chrome. So we have all of the articles up. Hey, one last thing I almost forgot to tell you guys about, and I'll show this to you. They've introduced over at Google Plus this thing called communities. And I really have fallen in love with this. And I hope that you guys will come over and become a community member on Google Plus. And really, this is going to be a way for you guys to interact with all of us. We're all going to be, you know, I can hang out there and we can chat about the show, different things going on. I'll have a link up to it in the show notes tonight, but become a community member. And really, it's you're not going to get this in your timeline. You're just going to have to come over and visit the communities from time to time. And the new layout's pretty cool. It allows you to have a threaded conversation. And we can put topics up there and different things. I've got different categories already set up. I've got events, discussion. I actually got two event categories, so I probably need to clean that up. But it's really slick. Think about it, and we appreciate it if you do join. And Google Plus, man, I've been having good conversations over on Google Plus with the people that are there. Hey, one thing I want to talk about during the holidays here, and something that we've been dealing with a little bit more since my teenagers are getting older, is issues with cell phones being used in inappropriate times, texting being done in inappropriate times, homework not getting done because of texting, and playing on Instagram and all the other things that teenagers do. And, you know, I put the law down here just recently. We went through a couple of iterations of me seizing devices for a couple of weeks at a time with different ones. And, guys, I've told this story many times, but back right after 9/11, when I was still active duty and when I went to deploy, we were essentially locked down, and for 76 days, no internet, no telephone, nothing. And, you know, I'm a pretty connected guy, and it was before the podcast days, obviously. The blog hadn't really launched yet, but I was still heavily involved in a whole bunch of other things. I still had the BBS online and a variety of stuff. So those 76 days were purely torture. But what I learned during those 76 days is I learned that you can live without the internet. Of course, smartphones weren't really kind of smart at the time. They were still dummy phones. They didn't have a lot of interactivity. But, you know, that really kind of changed me. And it was I call it my own self 12-step program forced upon me by my employer, the United States Navy. So there's a good article over on the BBC talking about high school students and doing it, basically living without Facebook and living without their cell phones and basically being forced to cut back for a period of time. And I don't want to play this because we'll get busted for copyright. Okay, there, we stopped it. So this group of teenagers, 45 students, find out each semester what life is like without the technological advances of their lives at home offers. And basically, they are asked to live and interact without cell phones and limited internet for a few months. And it talks about, this video clip is well worth the time to watch. And here's some interesting things that some of the high schoolers said. I think it forced everyone to get to know everybody on a more of a personal level, said Kiefer, a 17-year-old, instead of just checking their Facebook pictures. 33 of the 43 respondents said they would use the internet a little less or a lot less upon their return back home. Now, they weren't at home. They were actually in a rural school, a mountain school in rural Vermont, and they were doing a lot of outdoor activities. And so it wasn't because they were asked to participate. Part of it was is where they were at. They had no access. And I think this is a good thing. And we've had some assignments being missed here recently with a certain member of our family. And I have warned her that if all of the homework wasn't turned in, which the end of the semester is Wednesday here in Hawaii, that she would forfeit her phone, internet, television, anything digital for 60 days. And I bet you if I could take a camera out of this studio right now, those few homework missing assignments, I mentioned there would be a consequence about 2 weeks ago. And tonight at dinner, I announced what that consequence would be. And I didn't think she was figuring I would be serious because some of her homework stuff isn't graded. As long as you take the test and do well, the teacher doesn't care. But it's one of those things where I'm a big believer in doing the work and making sure that you have your assignments done so that when you are ready to go out in the real world, you don't, you know, not do assignments that are assigned to you and so forth. It's just all about building that character. And I think, you know, I don't care that the assignment is not necessarily graded. I just want it turned in. So she got a pretty big eye tonight when I announced it would be a 60-day hiatus from anything digital. I think she's only got like maybe two or three assignments that are late at this point. But I bet you she's up to midnight tonight working to get those assignments done. And obviously, there's some things I could have done earlier to make sure that was engaged. But sometimes teenagers, man, wow, you know, and you want them to fail on their own. But at the same point, you have to hold their feet to the fire a little bit. So could your teenager live at home and live without the internet for 45 days, 45 to 60 days? Or full semester? I think it'd be a challenge even for all of us the way we're digitally connected now. And I understand we've all become pretty dependent on these different devices and so forth. But good article, good video on the BBC. Hey, there's a good article on Christian Science Monitor talking about Gmail down, up, and back online again. Apparently they had an outage today. So there was some DNS issues, apparently. So they were on and off for a while today. I didn't notice it. I was head down scheduling companies and stuff. So not a big deal on my part. But if you notice it, or if you didn't notice it, it's probably not an issue at this point. Hey, let's talk a little bit about Opportunity. And, of course, Opportunity is the Mars rover that has been on Mars for approaching 8 years. And, you know, since Curiosity's been on and digging around and rolling, we've kind of forgot that, you know, Opportunity is out there. And you know, this is pretty exciting stuff, that Opportunity is 8 years, still doing science, has tracked 23 miles. You know, Opportunity landed on Mars in January 2004 for what was supposed to be a three-month mission. And it kind of reminds me of that Gilligan Isle show tune, you know, where life continues and the rover continues to operate in good condition. You know, Spirit died in 2010 and it's stuck in a sand trap. And basically it's there to be discovered by future visitors of Mars. But, you know, with Opportunity arriving at doing a 23-mile trek and arriving at the 14-mile wide crater called Endeavour, you know, they've got some clay deposits there that they're really excited about. But some of Opportunity's sensors are not doing what they used to do because of some of the elements in them have expired. So they aren't able to do the in-depth analysis that they wish they could if they had the other rover, which is 5,000 miles away, there to take a look. So we'll see. We'll see what happens here. But this is pretty exciting that Opportunity continues to produce science. And boy, we've gotten our money's worth out of that rover many, many times over. We'll have some more rover news later in the show. In the LA Times today, Russia has backed off plans it would place more regulation on the internet. This is this Russian-led proposal by a coalition of countries to place further government regulations over the internet has been withdrawn. But while this is good news, the U.S. and its allies are not out of the woods yet. They're saying it may come down to the wire. A Western delegate speaking anonymously told Reuters, there are a lot of other similar proposals, so I don't think this represents a substantial conclusion and could just be maneuvering by the Russians. So the talks also apparently drew up a new treaty, which is slated to end. The talks to draw up a new treaty are slated to end Friday at a meeting of the ITU in Dubai. So we'll see what happens here with this, but maybe we're going to skirt these knuckleheads from trying to impose their will on the internet. Let's talk about Instagram and Twitter. Boy, oh boy. You can tell that there's not any love lost at this point, but you know, about a week now after Instagram disabled an integration tool, leaving pictures difficult to view on Twitter, the company has pulled all of its photos from Twitter. So the microblogging site announced on its status page that Instagram has disabled photo integration with Twitter. As a result, photos are no longer appearing in tweets or users' photo galleries. Now, while tweeting links to Instagram photos is still possible, you can no longer view the photos on Twitter as was previously the case. Now, here's what has happened today. The folks at Twitter has added photo editing and filters to its application. So Twitter now has a photo editing and filtering feature that works very similar to the stuff on Instagram. And you can crop it, enhance it, add 1-8 filters to it. You can share it all without leaving the app. The filters themselves are created by Avari, a company that makes photo editing software development kits for mobile apps. So again, this move comes just a day after Instagram completely cut off this ability. But how long has Twitter been working on this? Did the folks at Instagram hear that this was coming and decide to react accordingly? You know, so it's kind of interesting. Now, at the same time, Instagram has improved their camera editing and have added a new filter, which is interesting. So they rolled out a new app with promises of better camera scaling and cropping functions, control over blurring of photos, and of course, another filter. So here you got Instagram released an update. Twitter released an upgrade. Instagram has pulled its ability to see their pictures on Twitter. It's just a little bit of gamesmanship here that's going on. And it's all about eyeballs on websites. That's what it really boils down to. Instagram wants you come to Instagram.com into your profile. They don't want you seeing the photos over on Twitter. So we will see where this ends up. But at this point, there is definitely a separation of Twitter and Instagram, and it doesn't look like it will be mended anytime soon. Let me take a shot of H2O here. I was kind of surprised too when I came home. My wife's uncle, who recently went through a kidney transplant, during a time when he was a little bit worried about, you know, basically he was, you know, he'd been on the waiting list a long time and had been going to dialysis 2-3 times a week. And any of you that have family members that have had to be on dialysis, you know the impact. And, you know, he was up and down in his moods. And earlier this year, before his transplant, he had given a guitar to my daughter. Now, my son has a guitar that my mom bought him. And this guitar that my daughter got was real, you know, it's basically a real nice sounding guitar, obviously beat up. It's been used for years and played heavily. And it's just kind of, you know, it's one of those guitars you can tell is that it's, you know, it's good to hang out at a, you know, around a fire pit or something like that. So I get home and I'm hearing this picking. I'm hearing guitar picking. And I'm, and I, cause you know, my daughter plays the violin and also, not so much ukulele anymore, but anyway, I hear this picking a guitar and I'm hearing a familiar tune. And I'm walking in and I go to her room and she's sitting there strumming away. And I'm like, you're playing the guitar. And I knew she had the guitar, but apparently she's been practicing on her own. And because this is the first time, and she said, oh, I just, you know, I've been messing around the last couple of weeks a lot with it. She's made great progress. And the reason I said that is I could hear her playing in the background. She's obviously not doing homework right now. So you know what we've got going on here in the house? We've got two cello players, one violin player. We've got two ukulele players. And these are, you know, kids dual hatting. And my son, who got the guitar from my mom, I think he's got it out of the case maybe 5 times. So I was kind of teasing him. I said, you know, Ray, I said, it won't be long before Anna's grabbing your guitar and playing. And he kind of looks at me sideways. I said, because right now she's smoke checking you in the talent standpoint. But so I hear practicing going on behind me, which is kind of fun. Okay, so sorry, I had to digress. I'm in that mood. All right, let's talk about. This is kind of a topic I kind of like a lot. When I see something talking about microwave vying with fiber and competition in that standpoint, you know, stock traders are huge on saving milliseconds in basically in trading. You know, if a stock trade can take less than a millisecond to execute, sometimes that will actually beat the competition. And what they're finding is that microwave is making a comeback because, you know, what happens with the microwave? That it has a little bit higher transmission speed than fiber. You know, you think, how can, you know, the data transmits through fiber at the speed of light? Well, you also have different components on each end to read and write and all this stuff. So they're finding that microwave technology in the world of high frequency trading is actually beating the competition by a few milliseconds. And basically finance firms are now looking at decade old microwave technology for a competitive edge. So this is good for all of us because, you know, this is a point to point type of technology that ultimately could end up helping all of us to have alternate ways to transmit media and so forth. So, this is pretty cool stuff. So financial firms are basically starting to upgrade some of these microwave legacy systems and really working to improve it. Now they're doing, of course, obviously point-to-point wireless microwave transmissions operate in the 1-30 gigahertz part of the spectrum. And of course, again, they require line of sight signals through though signals can be repeated along a route, a good signal, such as between two mountain tops, could travel as far as 300 kilometers, 186 miles. So, you know, microwave's been in decline in the past decade because of fiber optic communications. And with microwave links only offering 150 megs per second throughput, that's really not the fastest technology. But again, the advantage that microwave still possesses, however, is the speed of transmission. And electromagnetic waves travel faster through the air than through light. A electromagnetic wave can travel 300,000 kilometers or 186,000 miles per second in a vacuum and nearly that quick through air. However, through fiber, light can only travel about 200,000 kilometers per second in even the clearest glass. So that gives you an idea. And now if they're starting to invest in updating the hardware, we may see a huge resurgence of microwave, which makes a lot of sense. All that infrastructure is there. So we'll keep an eye on this and see what happens. All right. Do you have a system that needs a little bit of an upgrade? Are you thinking about what you're going to get yourself for Christmas? Ladies out listening to the show, are you going to get your fellas something or maybe something for you? Well, a hard drive is always a great way to put some performance back into a machine that's a little bit lagging, especially if you've got a machine that doesn't have a solid state drive. So there's a great list over at CNET on the top five internal drives of 2012. Your system deserves a worthy upgrade. So the Vector solid state drive, boom, real at the top of the list. And it's a great drive and they got a great review on it. Samsung has a good SSD, so does the folks from Neutron, and it's actually manufactured of Corsair's Neutron line, and the Plexter SSD as well, Plexter M5 Pro, and there's actually one actual standard hard drive on the list as well, non-SSD, and that's the Western Digital Velociraptor WD10000DHTZ, which is a monster hard drive as well. So these are all good recommendations from the folks at CNET. And of course, these solid state drives come in about $1 a gig is what's going to cost you. And but some of the write speeds, rewrite speeds on this are pretty incredible. So and what I always tell folks that have Macs, there's a lot of third party stuff out there for you if you own a Mac. And they actually have a kit that actually gets you through the full upgrade process where you transfer your media and everything. We're going to be talking to some of those folks, obviously, at CES to see what's new. But definitely a good upgrade option for those of you that have an older Mac. You'll feel like you got a brand new machine again. All right, Twitter has rolled out profile header pictures to all. Twitter is rolling out profile pictures to all the users this week. So this is a big change, and I've actually been, they've been offering me to do this for a couple of weeks, and I've been putting it off. I really don't care for the new Twitter design, per se. It's going to give you an interesting new look. So basically, what you're going to have is, if you've got a profile picture now, and those of you that are watching the video, and I guess the best way to describe this is, for those of you that are listening, you're going to have a page where, on the left-hand side of the page, you're going to have tweets, who's following you, your followers, your favorites, your list. It's going to have the ability to search and so forth. And then in the right-hand column of the page, it's a bigger column. We'll have a background picture that you could put a picture of you and your wife or whatever you wanted. Like I'll probably put a picture of the studio. And then the center of the page was where your normal picture goes. And then information about your Twitter account is below that. So this is going to be a big, big change for all of you that have had profile pictures up on Twitter or maybe no profile picture. You're definitely going to want to take a look at this. I've actually got a video on instructions on what actually is being changed. You definitely want to keep an eye on it as this is being rolled out. So again, this is going to go live for everyone on the 12th. So be prepared and get your Twitter profile updated so that it doesn't... you're not left behind the times. All right, let's, anytime I hear about Iran launching anything, I just kind of like, oh boy. So there's a new website called MER, which means affection in Farsi. It's run by the State Broadcasting, RIB, the Islamic Republic of Iran Broadcasting. They've launched a new web video channel. And basically, they're trying to supplant YouTube and stuff that they feel that are not good for the Iranian people to watch, censorship at its best. So We know that they've done everything they can to ban YouTube, and it's been blocked in the country since 2009. But, you know, a lot of Iranians are able to bypass it with filters and VPNs and so forth. But anyway, this new site, I'm sure people are going to be flocking to it to put all kinds of videos up there that can get you arrested and put in jail and flogged and everything else they do in Iran these days. But it's really too bad. But, you know, the countries continue to block their people from seeing stuff and educating themselves. It is really, it's ongoing deals I don't think we're going to have any solution for a long time. And a more happy note, and this one here really made me sit back and really go, wow. There's an article over on science at slashdot.org, and basically it's an article about a whole new generation of therapies for all manners of cancer. And this actually was featured on the New York Times today. But let me just read a subset of this article. It says, for decades, one of cancer's most powerful weapons has been to corrupt the human immune system. Finally, researchers in Philadelphia have developed a way to turn that weapon against certain cancers and potentially open the door to a whole new generation of therapies for all manners of cancer. From the article in the New York Times, they say, it's hard to believe, but last spring, Emma, then 6 years old, was near death from leukemia. She had relapsed twice after chemotherapy, and doctors had run out of options. Desperate to save her, her parents sought an experimental treatment at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, one that had never been tried in a child or in anyone with the type of leukemia Emma had. The experiment, in April, used a disabled form of the virus that caused AIDS to reprogram Emma's immune system to genetically to kill cancer cells. And this new treatment system has helped this girl beat leukemia. And so they continue to find new ways. And here you've got AIDS has been devastating, to segments of population for so many years. And a lot of innocent people, it's just a lot of people have been, I don't know what the total number is, but it's just ravaged the population in many countries, innocent children, you name it, it's been bad. So here you've got a disabled form of the virus that caused AIDS, and they're using that now to kill basically cancer cells, genetically kill cancer cells. And this is cool stuff. It really, really is. And it just goes to prove to you that scientists continue to explore and find ways to really wipe out some of these absolutely devastating diseases. And so I just thought this was really good. We'll see where this goes. But, nothing more passionate than a parent who has a dying child to try to save him or her. And, and to be able to get this experimental treatment at this children's hospital, obviously came in this girl's nick of time. So we'll have to see how this goes and where this leads us. But this is pretty cool stuff. It really is. Good. And it's a good story to hear right here at this time of year. It really is. Okay. So let me really switch gears on you here and do a flip-flop on you. And we're going to go from health to a very cool machine. Now, I really, I've had some exposure to GPU clusters. There's a lot of power in video cards. Impressive power in video cards. So what a guy has done is he's built a 25 GPU cluster that's been able to crack every standard Windows password in less than 6 hours. Now, this password cracking expert has unveiled this computer that can cycle through as many as 350 billion guesses per second. It's an almost unprecedented speed. They can try every possible Windows passcode in the typical enterprise in less than 6 hours. The five server system uses a relatively new package of virtualization software that harnesses the power of 25 AMD Radeon graphics cards. Now, these are graphic cards. You can buy these graphic cards now without even any video output. But this system, in using this virtualization, achieves 350 billion guesses per second. This is amazing. They're running on a Linux-based GPU cluster. They're running the virtual OpenCL cluster platform, which allows the graphic cards to function as if they were running on a single desktop computer. And they're using a freely available password cracking suite optimized for the GPU computing that runs on top line the machine to tackle at least 44 other algorithms at near unprecedented speeds, in addition to brute force attacks. So all your passwords belong to us. No longer, you know, you've got this monster machine that is able to basically take any iteration of an 8-digit password and break it within 6 hours. And all they did was basically get these video cards to, process this data very, very quickly. And, these cards are meant to, really work hard and do, cool graphic stuff, but they're put to additional uses. So it's just amazing what they're doing here. This has opened the door for like supercomputers for the poor. And I'm not saying that building, 5 servers with 8 of these video cards in each is cheap. It's not in the least. But some people are doing some very, very cool stuff with the add-in of GPU computing. And, this has contributed to a huge, huge boost in offline password cracking. But now, limitations posed by computer motherboards have prevented it from being super effective, but that is not the case anymore here. So again, you got an 8-digit password, can bust it in 6 hours if it has the corresponding hashtag. All right, let's talk about some Aussies that got in trouble. Australian travelers stranded in the wilderness because of iOS 6 maps. A statement on the Victoria Police website has officially decreed Apple's contribution to the navigation world untrustworthy after several users ended up 70 kilometers, about 43 miles off course, stranded in the wilderness and had to be rescued by police. Local police have been called to assist distressed motorists who have become stranded within the Moray Sunset National Park after following the directions on their Apple iPhone. So the Bilderberg travelers have been looking for a city called Mildura, a rural city with a population of just 30,000. And of course, they were pretty surprised when they ended up in the Moray Sunset Park. And basically, it's a 6,000 square kilometer area where the population is mainly made up of birds. And these folks have found themselves as much as 70 kilometers off course, and which the app said that where they were at was supposed to be this downtown Mildura. So the Victoria Police website basically said, do not trust iOS 6 maps. So a little more egg on the face for Apple in this process. They just can't catch a break here. They really, really can't. Very troubling article over on Ars. FTC disclosure severely lacking in kids. It's getting worse. The report claims significant discrepancy between apps say and what they do. So my kids are always asking me to load apps, gaming apps on my phone or the iPad. None of us read the terms of service, as they're usually 80 pages of gobbledygook, and they're filled with technical information that most of us are just not going to understand unless you've got a law degree. But the FTC is pretty upset. their findings are part of a 42-page report on disclosures. And they're basically saying these apps are doing a lot of bad things. Collecting emails, collecting ages, and a whole bunch of other information as well. I would just say don't let your kids build any profiles on any of these games. You know, that's the key. And, you know, one of the things that's probably important. Now, they may think it's strange that your profile is actually the one logging into games, but at least you can keep birth dates, email addresses, home mailing addresses, and other information away from third parties. You know, my daughter's already getting junk mail and she laughs about it, but it's crazy. And I'm sure it's for something she's done online and she's got on a list. And, well, maybe they know she's a junior and, you know, credit card offers, you name it, it's already coming. So, but anyway, be careful about the kids' apps out there. You know, a lot of companies have gotten a lot of hate and discount over shipping cash overseas and basically hiding it in different countries. Bloomberg has discovered that the financial filings by Google is showing that the company has avoided $2 billion in worldwide taxes in 2011 by moving $9.8 billion to a Bermuda-based shell company. Now, they didn't do anything illegal. They did everything legal to do this. While it may not be good, they were within the law of being able to do it because countries have such stupid laws on the books that allows these companies to get away with basically not paying any taxes or very little taxes. There's this technique called the double Irish and the Dutch sandwich. Yes, that's actually a financial term that's used by Google and many other large companies to legally move money to where their tax rate is zero, allowing them to avoid double-digit corporate tax rates in most countries. Now, this took place outside of the United States, so the United States didn't necessarily lose tax dollars, but these countries that Google does business in did. So just another example of corporate maneuvering. It shouldn't be any surprise to any of us. I guess if all of us could afford it, we'd try to figure out how to do that ourselves, wouldn't we? Microsoft has been criticized for doing some of that stuff in the past as well. But in different news with Microsoft, Microsoft is basically some leaks have came out and referencing to Office for iOS. Apparently, an official version of Microsoft Office for iOS devices may be very close. Reference to various Office apps for iPhone and iPad have been appearing on different parts of Microsoft's support site. And this was first spotted by Mac Forever and detailed in English by Mac Rumors. So we'll see. Maybe Office is going to be coming to iOS. And that would definitely be an eye raiser. And we'll see if it actually happens. Google is providing teachers $99 Chromebooks through a charity. So while they're avoiding taxes in some countries, Google has found a way to get its Chromebooks, notebooks into classrooms by letting someone gift one to a favorite teacher for Christmas at a fraction of the regular price. The company has partnered with DonorChoose, a crowdfunding charity that applies a Kickstarter model to equipping public classrooms. So if you want to help out in getting a notebook to a teacher, you can gift one. A link will be up in the show notes for you to check out. So apparently Google must be doing some subsidizing on those Chromebooks. Well, if you're a Facebook fan and you've been voting on the governance of Facebook, sorry, Facebook's last user vote has closed. Once again, with a minuscule turnout compared to the size of the social network, only 668,000 people cast a vote. Of the billion active users, for a turnout of 0.067%. Facebook is now free to enact its new privacy policies without the concerns or an additional vote. So anyway, we'll see. We'll see where this goes. But basically, Facebook is now back in control. The users have no feedback, or getting feedback with not showing up, I guess. Hey, if you have a Windows phone, you can track Santa. So you'll be able to get the NORAD tracking app. It It's available at the Windows Phone Store. Those of you that have Android and iOS devices, it's been available for a while. Don't forget to play along with the little ones and track Santa when he gets ready to deliver Christmas presents. Over at Making Windows Easy, Surface RT has been named one of the 15 most overpriced gadgets of all time. Boy, that makes me feel good. I paid for one. Well, it's been rated by Laptop Magazine as one of the most 15 overpriced gadgets of all time. You know, who else is on that list? Let's see who else is on that list here. What's the next one? The Voodoo Envy is one. Cisco UMI. Sony Vaio P. Oh, the very old Apple Lisa, which was $10,000. This goes into some of the older computers. So these have made the list in the past. BlackBerry Playbook, $499. Come and gone. Motorola Laptop Dock, $499. 18 Video Phone, $2,500. This isn't a computer. How come that made the list? Anyway, link will be up. Oh, they say gadgets, not computers. Anyway, I'll have the link to the article, and you can look through the list and see if you are also the proud owner of one of these overpriced gadgets. Okay, so this Christmas holiday, you're going to be running around doing a lot of shopping. You may have a need for cash from time to time, and you're going to go to the bank and stick your card in your ATM machine, and you're going to try to withdraw some from your checking account. It's going to say, hey, you can only take $200 out. So if you are really in need of cash these holiday periods, you can avoid withdrawal limitations if you have a ShareCheck Visa card that draws from your checking account. You can oftentimes go into the branch, if the branch is open, and basically cash advance yourself the amount of money that you need, usually a very small transaction fee. And because you're using your ShareCheck or your checking account Visa card or your debit card, you're not going to incur the huge interest rate that they charge for cash advances because it's coming out of your account immediately. So that's one way you can get around if you need to get a bunch of cash at one time. I don't always recommend carrying a lot of cash, but sometimes you have to if you bought something on Craigslist or so forth. But anyway, that's a little tip for you. Also, pay less for a laptop by ordering over the phone at the end of the month. Apparently you can save some money at the end of the month because many phone sales representatives receive a commission and they have a quota to meet, and if they are a little bit shy of meeting it, they'll be more eager to negotiate you a price. So you're not going to get this discount because from every rep, because you know every person sold a different amount, but be aware that you could use this tactic to your advantage. The folks over at Lifehacker have put together a list of the best free Mac apps. I have this link up in the show notes for you to review. Of course, it's the end of the year. There's always these kinds of little list for me to share with you guys, and you'll like it because there's a lot of cool stuff that we've all missed on being able to pick up, and I've always found some cool apps when these kinds of lists come out. Hey, how many tunes 11? Have you seen the cloud icon on some of your music? Or some of your stuff that you've got? Well, what that indicates is that that music is in your iCloud. So if you're wondering what that little cloud button was, it means that it's been synced up to your iCloud and it's available. So anyway, good article on that on robottuxedo.net. I have a link in the show notes and how he deduced exactly what that little cloud link was for. Folks over at Gig Ohm reporting there could be as many as 2 new iPads and iPhones per year being released by Apple. I think you would be very annoyed. I think I would be very annoyed, but it's true. They're saying the Apple supply chain, as well as some analyst groups, are saying that Apple may be getting ready to release a new iPhone and iPad as early as June 2013. So that's pretty quick. That's only 6 months from now and 8 and 7 months respectively since each was last refreshed. And you know, what's new is old in just a matter of weeks. How many of you are wanting to use a keyboard with your iPad mini? The folks from Zag have a pretty cool one. I have a link up in the show notes to that, something you can check out. Hey, a couple of articles here that have done real well on Geek News Central here over the last 24 to 36 hours. Jen put up an article on the Archos, and it puts the hands on back in gaming. And this is a great review. We're going to have, I booked Archos. Matter of fact, they're going to be on live with us at CES at 9 a.m. on Friday, on the last day of the show. I remember because I booked them today. So we'll be able to see this device live 9 a.m. Friday, January 11th. Can't wait to get our hands on this thing and play with it. But pretty good review so far on it, and a good article by Jen. Another article getting good traction over at Geek News Central is this year. Color of the Year has been announced as a Pantone Color of the Year. It's an Emerald Aqua 17-5641. So this is the color, and that's been made the Color of the Year. And to see if there's an RGB code for that. There's a link to it, so you can actually use that link to get the color match if you want to use that in any of your upcoming projects. Along with that, Alan has put up an article talking about astronomy themes for Windows. I'm just usually grabbing pictures and putting pictures on my desktop. I'm not actually grabbing themes, but pretty cool stuff. Microsoft and other sites make these themes available. Even NASA themselves post one now and again. So there's lots of stuff that's being put up. Windows Observer had a couple that they linked to as well. So if you're looking for some new themes for your desktop, whether it be Windows 7 or Windows 8, these are some cool ones available for you. Last article out of Geek News Central for this show. If you're looking for some games... this is pretty amazing here. You know, nostalgia is a pretty big business these days, and there's probably no bigger tech nostalgia field than old games and gaming systems. So if you want to pick up some games, there's an auction going on right now that consists of what the seller calls a complete U.S. Super Nintendo collection with all the boxes and most manual. The sale claims that the collection consists of all 721 games sold at retail in the United States, Canada, and Mexico. The games are mostly in good condition and wow. They only want $24,999. Now, the question is that I'm asking, and I think all of you should be asking, what made this guy buy 721? Let's think about that. Let's really think about that for a second. Let's think about that. I don't even know what a Super Nintendo game cost in the days, but let's think about this. 721 by at least, let's just use $45. 721 times $45. It's $32,000, $32,445. So I wonder if this guy was married and like every 2 days or every week or so bought another game. You'd have to buy more than a couple of games at a time. Can you imagine his wife finding a stash of 721 games? He probably doesn't have a wife if he's got all these games. Or maybe he's getting married and needs to pay for his wedding or something. But 32,000 in games, I would fair say, and don't take this the wrong way, I'd fair say that guy has a little bit of a problem. Or he acquired this at rock bottom prices and went out, which is basically going on a collection spree. Now, I will have to confess that back in the bulletin board days, I was what you would call a software junkie. I did everything I could to collect every piece of software that was known to man. And I literally had millions of software titles. Why? I don't know. But you could come to my site and find everything. We did everything known to man to keep all that media online when basically hard drives were not very big. Racks of CDs, SCSI cables out the, oh, I just, I just think back of all the crazy things we, you know, longest, not more than a couple of people accessed those. We had these racks that had CDs in them. Imagine that, 640 megs stuffed to the gills, and people would come in and be able to access that collection. I'd see a CD spin up, let go, and it'd cache it. Then the guy would download it, and another person would. We did a huge amount of traffic back then, but it never really. I think I spent a lot more money than $32,000 on my BBS during the days. Now, you want to talk about an obsession. You know, Mac Minis are pretty economical. They're pretty powerful. They can be used as an Xserve. Basically can be used as an alternative to Xserve. So what this guy did, and wait till you see this thing. He built a rack where he could stick 160 Mac Minis into it. And this rack, basically each shelf holds 4 Mac Minis. It's got cooling, and they did all kinds of cool stuff to make this happen. But this guy has an amazing server rack that obviously harnesses, and he's basically got them all working together, and definitely basically got some serious computing power there. I'd like to have this rack sitting in Vegas with us when we start doing crunching videos. You get all 640 cores working. You can probably process a video pretty doggone quick. I mean, faster than real time for sure. Many times faster than real time. But at what price? Holy cow. You know, that is one fast machine, and definitely an amazing amount of cash has been spent on this. Now, basically, the guy had to add a 10 gigabit SPF Ethernet card to the Xserve, and now he can netboot all 106 machines at the same time. He says it works so well that all the machines are back up and running within 45 seconds. That's an amazing speed to get a bunch of machines up and running. And he had to get power to all the minis and a custom design, so they had to build a power distribution unit for it. What an amazing piece of hardware. If nothing else, it's definitely a talkative piece, but at a very expensive, very expensive price. How many of you ride the bus? And I kind of had to laugh about this, and I shouldn't laugh, because we're right now, my wife's vehicle is having some challenges. And we are definitely in the market. If you've been following my Facebook profile, you'll know that we are car shopping, and not very successfully at this point. We're at a Toyota dealership Saturday afternoon after I got back from Texas. And as a matter of fact, I got off the airplane, got in the car, and went straight to the dealership. And she's been looking at a 4Runner or potentially a hybrid Camry. So we drove both. And I've done all my homework. I've got all my numbers. I know exactly what we should be paying. I know where I'm going to start negotiating at. And we get to the point where we're going to do a little negotiating. And I said, okay, here's my figure. And the guy comes back to me and says, well, we don't negotiate. I'm like, well, what do you mean? He says, the price is what it is. We don't squabble over price. What's listed as what you pay. And I'm like, I'm not paying what's on the sticker price on the vehicle. That's not happening. He says, no, we don't negotiate. I'm like, you mean to tell me you're not going to give me even a dollar off? He said, nope. So I said, honey, let's go. And we left. So we went and looked at some other vehicles at a different manufacturer at that point. But she still got her heart set on a Toyota 4Runner or a hybrid Camry. It's going to be one of the other, probably. So long story short here, I had a meeting in downtown today, and she's been doing working part-time at the school, partly volunteering, partly doing some paid work as well. And she called me at about 1 o'clock or 1:30, and she says, hey, where are you at? What time are you going to come get me? And so I got a couple more hours left. She says, okay, I'm going to grab the kids and we're just going to ride the bus home. And I'm like, you're going to ride the bus? So yeah, we're going to ride the bus home. And the bus comes within a couple blocks of where I live. I'm like, okay, have fun. See ya. And because her vehicle is in a situation that I don't want her driving it right now, she rode the bus home today. So along with the kids, and that's kind of been a fun discussion point tonight because that doesn't happen very often here. But public buses across the country are quietly adding microphones to record passengers' conversations. Transit authorities in cities across the country are quietly installing microphone-enabled surveillance systems on public buses that give them the ability to record and store private conversations, according to a document obtained by a news outlet. The systems are being installed in San Francisco, Baltimore, and other cities with funding from the Department of Homeland Security. In some cases, according to the Daily, which obtained copies of the contracts, procurement requests, and specs in the other document, the use of the equipment raises obviously serious questions about eavesdropping without a warrant. But I guess if they figure you're on a public bus paid for by the taxpayers, you have no right to privacy. So a product pamphlet for what's called the Rode Recorder 7000 is making the rounds. But here's some more information. Cities that installed the system or taken steps to procure them include San Francisco, California, Eugene, Oregon, Traverse City, Michigan, Columbus, Ohio, Baltimore, Maryland, Hartford, Connecticut, and Athens, Georgia. So what do you guys think about that? Mass transit? They're recording what you're saying on the bus now? Makes you go, doesn't it? It does me. Makes me go, why do they need to? Well, it's Department of Homeland Security. They want to know everything. Big Brother has to watch and listen, right? Is that cool? Do you guys think that is... Do you think that, you know, who's going to take one of these cities to court? You know? That's the question I have. And are people just going to be sheep and are they going to put up with that? Or now when you get on a bus, are you just going to have to stare forward and keep your mouth shut, not say anything for the fear that whatever you say will end up on some website somewhere from someone taking a clip? It's really pretty scary. And I'd love to hear you guys' feedback on this. Again, public buses across the country quietly adding microphones to record passengers' conversations. It makes you go, doesn't it? We're definitely in a time and point where anything goes, people are doing anything they want, and they're going to basically probably not be held in check here for a long time to come. And if you do raise a stink, people are going to be like, well, why? What do you have to hide? Well, it's just a principle of having privacy, right? But I guess public bus, you have no right to privacy. I hope they put at least signs on the door saying we're recording what you say, at least disclosing that. That would be good. Hey, Kenny, joining in the chat room. Welcome to the show. All right, the Supreme Court has asked to review a $220,000 landmark file sharing case, and famous file share Jamie Thomas Reset has asked the Supreme Court on Monday to review a jury's conclusion that she paid the recording industry $222,000 for downloading and sharing 24 copyrighted songs on the now-defunct file-sharing Kazaa. So we'll see. And of course, we don't know if the court is going to pick this up or not, if they're going to see it, but this would be a good one for them to do. In her appeal to the Supreme Court, she argues that the Copyright Act, which allows damages up to $150,000 per infringement, is unconstitutionally excessive. But, of course, the Obama administration, which weighed in on the case when it was in the appellate court, said the large damages award was allowed because it is reasonably related to further the public interest in protecting original works of artistry, literary, and musical expression. So we'll see. We'll see if the court picks this up. But, you know, she's not going to get any help from the current administration, that's for sure, on this one. On the article over on the BBC, the Pirate Party is threatened with legal action over Pirate Bay proxy. We knew this was coming. According to the UK music industry body, is set to take the Pirate Party UK to court in a dispute over operating offering access to the band's site, the Pirate Bay, through a proxy. So you knew this was coming. They said they were going to go after them, and they are. Remember last week we talked about this case, this incredible court dialogue? Well, if you did not read that story and the comedy routine that basically took place with copyright troll John Steele and the Prenda Law that tried to pull off in a courtroom in Florida last week, you need to read that article. But there's been some developments. The defense attorney in the case, who has been getting pretty good at exposing bad behavior by Steele and Prenda, has filed a motion asking for sanctions. And boy, oh boy, it's a good one. And if you read the data on this sheet, it's very, very damaging. And there's a house of cards that are going to come tumbling down and lots of shells being moved around with a ball in it. A lot of maneuvering by someone and lots of proof that this is going to end up someone specifically, in my opinion, is going to pay one bunch of money or being in jail for playing with the court. We'll see how this goes. But if you haven't, you got to take time and read the article from last week. And then this one, I'll have them both up in the show notes again tonight. It's pretty comical. And you'll see what lengths these trolls will go to try to collect copyright damages against people they're accusing of using peer-to-peer systems. And in more insanity, a company has issued a DMCA takedown on comment spam. Now, apparently, Gerard Smith was talking about a DMCA notice he received from a piece of comment spam. Yes, a piece of comment spam. His assumption was that the company that was asking him to take that down had apparently hired someone to help them boost their Google rankings, and that the company went about comment spamming, not realizing that they would actually hurt their Google rankings. So they basically been issuing DMCA takedown notices on these comment spams in order to try to get them removed from these sites that they paid to put them on in the first place. That's his assumption. So this is pretty crazy. Trying to use DMCA to unscrew your stupidity and potentially paying someone to go out and comment spam websites. There's some news, switching gears here on you. There's some news that Apple TV expects to support Bluetooth keyboards in an upcoming update. There's been some hint at that, so we'll see how that goes. Those of you that are on AT&T, AT has boosted their LTE coverage to 113 markets. There's four new markets that have been turned on: Auburn, Alabama; Grand Rapids, Michigan; Nashua, New Hampshire; and Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. So some more markets have come online there. So LTE continues to be rolled out. I told you earlier in the show I'd have a little bit more on the rover news. Well, we know that Curiosity is out there doing great things, but apparently NASA's got a bunch of spare parts. And let me kind of, having a little bit of experience in the past with government procurement, let me talk to you about how government procurement works. When you order something that's unique, one of a kind, and it's just that anywhere, like anywhere else, if you order something, it's a single piece, you're going to pay through the nose for one. And usually what you pay for one, you can get two for the same price, because it's usually the cost is irrelevant because they built one, they can stamp out the second part. And you only get any cost of scale when you get into 10, 20, 30, 100 items being bought. That's when the price comes down. And that's why oftentimes government stuff costs so much, is because they're only buying a small number. Well, not surprisingly, the NASA Curiosity rover, they've got enough parts to build another one. It's not like they're going to send those parts to Mars to fix the one to fix Curiosity there. So basically, NASA is saying that they're going to send this new rover that they're going to build to Mars in 2020. And so now they're looking for a name. And some names I've thought of is Brover, the Cat. Some geeky names they've come up with is Colbert Rides Again, Namesake Treadmill, a Brover, Apathy, Sagan, Serenity, I'm Curious 2. I should be on Titan, Audacity, Vitality. So they've come up with some kind of, they've come up with some ideas on some names. But the Twin is going to go to Mars in 2020 based on the spare parts that they bought that they never had to use. Hey, the Russians are in a bit of a quandary. Kazakhstan is mulling ending Russia's Cosmodrome lease. Don't worry. Russia pays Kazakhstan $115 million annually, and the deal doesn't expire to 2050. So we don't have, that's not going to happen anytime soon, but the Kazakhstanis want to have the launch facility to themselves. So we'll see what happens here in another 40 years. All right, Air Force is set to launch a secret space plane on a third mission. The U.S. Air Force says set to launch a so-called X-37B space plane from Cape Canaveral on Tuesday. So this is the Air Force's third orbital test vehicle, scheduled to lift off from Launch Complex 41 at the Cape at 1:03 Eastern, with the launch window extending through 6:03 p.m. So we'll see if they get this thing off. Of course, we have no idea what they have inside this. One can only wonder. If you're a Bose fan, yes, B-O-S-E, Bose headsets, Bose docking stations, and so forth. Bose SoundDeck 3 embraces lightning-equipped iPhones and iPods for $250. So if you've got an iPhone 5 owner in the house and they're a little disgruntled that they can't use their dock on their, oops, did that go? No, it didn't. Now it did. You'll be able to get this new Bose SoundDock 3 at $250, potentially a Christmas present there for someone, in order to get them back up and running and having music on their desktop. All right, final article for today. This one's over. Oh, Zinc last year, of course, had a digital camera in concert, basically helped be promoted by Lady Gaga. And but apparently they're going to be releasing another product, a Wi-Fi-enabled printer, and it's gone through the FCC database. Not a lot to be seen on this, but we'll keep an eye out for it at CES. All right, that wraps me up for the show tonight. Spent a lot of time at the beginning of the show talking about stuff, so we're definitely long. I thank you for being here. It's been a lot of fun bringing the show today. Let me look in the email comments. Don't think we had anything come in. No, I think we're good. Everyone's ramped up, ready for the holidays. Don't forget here, folks, that 24 podcasts, I really hope that you guys can come out. I'd like to see 400-500 people on the stream all the way through the event. Again, I'm going to be running on my Amazon Flash Media server. We're going to be ad-free the entire time. Nice, high-quality stream. We're going to have people come in on the Ohanasaurus back here. And again, thanks to Sam Garcia for giving us the Christmas layout. And we should have a lot of fun during the show. But I can't do it without people being with me for that full 24 hours, chatting with me, talking with me. We're going to have lots of guests on. That's going to help. But audience participation is really, really critical. And those of you that are watching the video here, those of you that are still watching, I'm going to play around with the lights behind. You guys can see some of the different colors we have. So there's red. We had a blue up earlier. So now let's change it to green. So the green's pretty cool. We can actually go to yellow. So I can change it to yellow. How about purple? We'll change it to purple. So what do you guys want to see on the next show? Which color in the background do you want to see? And some are better than others from a... Well, there's a deep purple, but you can see the flicker on that pretty good. I think the red is pretty cool. There's two sensors, so I was clicking it twice. And it's also affecting my, somehow this remote control is affecting my board back there, my LED board. There must be a remote control inside that thing somewhere. So, but it definitely was, I hear it go beep whenever I'm using this. So anyway, we'll end up with a red background in the back. All right, everyone. Thanks for hanging. And again, geeknews@gmail.com. You can find me on Twitter as well. And of course, definitely email the show. Let me know what you think. Send me your comments, thoughts, find the good deals for Christmas, everything else that's going on. Until next time, everyone, take care. We'll see you then. Aloha.